We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Just like the Pelicans almost ended up with R.J. Barrett, you could almost be R.J. Barrett. How? Indochino Custom Menswear. That pink suit he wore to the draft? Yep, Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more. And everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. Plus, you get to personalize all the details, including your lapel, lining, and your own monogram. Indochino's process is simple. Choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and submit your measurements. Your package will be delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom, or do it all yourself online at Indochino.com. Right now, you can get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering BlueWire at checkout. Plus, shipping's free. That's Indochino.com, promo code BlueWire, for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. Incredible deal made for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit.
The New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson.
And Holiday, the triple penetration. So tough going to the goal.
High up on the rim to rip it down.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans, All the Time. Welcome to another episode of In the Know, brought to you by Indochino, ShipStation, and Harry's, part of the beautiful Blue Wire Network, and they're sponsoring us this week. Mason, I wanted to ask you, there's been a lot of Baby Yoda memes going around Twitter lately. Do you have Disney Plus, or have you been watching The Mandalorian?
No, man, and it's driving me crazy because but I'm absolutely going to take that plunge at some point in the near future, but not yet.
Okay, but do you or Anna have Verizon?
Yes.
Apparently, there's some sort of thing going on where if you have Verizon, you have Disney Plus.
Huh.
You need to look into that.
I will absolutely look into that.
Okay. Look
into already that. Adding value. Adding value. Love it.
I'm telling you, man. Just look into that. Watch these episodes of The Mandalorian, because that's how I got in on it. Not because I have Verizon. My father, who works for AT&T, would never allow me to have that. But other people I know have Verizon, and Disney, if you're listening, I'm totally stealing their login. So that is where I'm at. I've been watched the first four episodes this week. And I actually, while I was waiting for the fourth episode to come out, this weekend I was putting together a giant TV cabinet that I bought because, I mean, I think I told you guys, I moved to Atlanta and I've been trying to furnish my place slowly and slowly. And for Black Friday, there was a really good TV deal and I bought a TV and I needed a TV cabinet. And I spent the better part of my Sunday. When did the Pels play? Because I was putting it together whenever the Pels were playing.
Oh, the Pels are playing?
Are we a Pelicans pod or are we a furniture pod? Because I'm about to tell you how I assembled this.
We can be whatever pod we want at this point. I don't really care what we talk about.
Okay, cool. Because we'll see where this goes. But yeah, I was putting together this this cabinet, and first, I was waiting for the Pelicans game to start. It was going to start at some point later in the day. So I was like, let me watch Star Wars, and I ran out of episodes. And then I was like, let me watch The Phantom Menace, which I think is one of the best Star Wars movies out there. And a lot of people have very strong opinions of that, but their opinions are wrong. And I have voiced my thoughts on Twitter on this already. So watching The Phantom Menace, great movie, loved it. Obviously, I didn't finish the cabinet during the duration of the movie because it's a great movie. I was watching the movie. And then I was watching the Pelicans, and I watched them lose, and I still didn't finish the cabinet. So I was up pretty late putting together this damn thing. And I think my neighbors hated me because I actually had to hammer things together, and it's pretty late when I was doing it, but whatever. I put together a cabinet, and I have this TV. It's pretty big, and I can watch the Pelicans' disappointment on a really large TV screen instead of a laptop or a smaller screen. And let me tell you, watching them do this badly in HD is life-changing.
In which way?
I don't know, man. It's just you see things clearly. Every brick is louder. Every bad pass just really jumps off with so much clarity. I mean, sheesh. The refresh rate on that thing is great.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, that was my weekend. And, tonight was really not much different for the Pelicans. And what about you? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, man. It was it was great. Spent time in Detroit with my fiance and her family, and managed to somehow watch both of the games this weekend. The timing worked out such that I could watch both of them, and the Lakers game was actually pretty damn fun. And everything since then has been everything pretty much over the last week and a half for this team beyond that Lakers game has been just a total dumpster fire. So, at least there was, I mean, people were upset we lost, and it does suck, but that was like some promise, and nothing else has really shown me any promise besides that.
No, the Pelicans flat out suck.
Yeah.
On all counts. Now, I tweeted this morning about the Pelicans' best players, Drew Holiday and Brandon Ingram, not holding up their end of the bargain. Now, they're trying to do what they can offensively, and granted, they've both been very good at certain aspects of the offensive game. Drew and Brandon Ingram are both in the top 10 in isolation efficiency. Drew is number one in the NBA. Now, it's a little bit skewed because Harden has like 300 more million isolation possessions than anyone else. So I really feel like he should get the title of the best isolation player, and I think he has it. But for whatever the minimum possession cutoff was, Drew has been the most efficient, and Brandon Ingram has been ninth, and they've been good. They've been terrible in the clutch, both of them. Both of them have been really bad. And part of that's been shot selection, part of that's been fatigue, part of that's been the offensive system just not having any structure, part of that's been defenses knowing that this is coming and the offense is really stale, so it's easier to lock in, and part of that's just the other players just not being good enough around them to give them the space they need to operate. So they've been terrible in the clutch, and they've been an even bigger contributor to the Pelicans' poor defense. Drew, again, we've seen how good he has been on the ball. He's been tremendous, and he really locks into these matchups. Now, off the ball, you ask him to close out on a dude, it's disastrous. It's like a free runway to the paint, and then when that happens, someone has to cover for Drew, and then there's that triggers a rotation, and then that triggers an open three. It's just it's a mess. And I think he's been put in a situation where he is being asked to do too much. And it's easier to do all the things he did when he had Anthony Davis on his team. There's no Anthony Davis on this team to cover up for your mistakes. There's no Derek Favors on this team to cover up for your mistakes. It's just not a situation where that's happening. And Brandon Ingram has been largely invisible defensively. He'll have a couple good plays a game where he has a good help defense block, a good on-ball play here or there, and then sometimes for particular matchups he gets up. He, for some reason, loves playing against Kristaps Porzingis. Maybe because Kristaps got a max, and Ingram's like, I'm a max player. If you're a max player, I'm a max player, which I think everyone thinks Ingram is a max player at this moment. He's been awful. And when the two best players on your team have been disappointing out of such a fundamental part of the game, then how can you expect the rest of the roster, especially one that's so injury ridden, to be any good?
Yeah. And like the rotation and the closeout stuff has kind of been kind of contagious. Cause you get so turned around when you're helping for each other's deficiencies. And then you either get stuck through the rock in a hard place. You either overclose and the guy can easily blow by you and get a bucket. I think we saw that tonight with Seth Curry did it. Freaking Maxi Kleber was doing shit like that. And like it's either that happens or you don't close out hard enough and you give up an open three. So it's just like it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. But that's just because of the inherent problems in the first place to put themselves in that kind of situation where.
Not to borrow Republican ideology, but there's a huge trickle-down effect to this. There is. Like, if one person messes up and it impacts the whole system, maybe I should be apolitical and call it the butterfly effect or the ripple effect or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, y'all get the point. I mean, it's been bad. And let's talk about other bad things, because there's been a lot of bad things. Do you have any particular bad thing you want to talk about? Just let it all out. There's no holding back. This is a safe space.
Lonzo Ball, man, I'm so over it. I'm so over it. This is so frustrating to me because we both did this when the trade went down. Like that Lonzo Ball, we were both higher on Lonzo Ball than any of the three guys. I think we both acknowledged that Ingram's ceiling was higher, but we are both very confident that Lonzo Ball was the best player today or during that summer of the players that the Pelicans got in the trade. And just watching him play is just frustrating as hell. I mean, we've seen what his talent, we've seen what he can do with the ball in his hands throughout his career so far. And we've seen what he can do at both ends. And it just seems like he doesn't give a shit, man. Like that's the most frustrating part to me. Is he doesn't give a shit. Like he's got the talent to do more than he's doing. He's just chucking threes. Maybe we got into his head with the, Lonzo fixed his shot. Maybe, not we as in you and me, like we as in the Pelicans fan base.
It was us, Mason. I don't know if you saw that dude's tweet earlier from this week or last week. We are the reason the franchise has been terrible for the last 7 years because we don't hold people accountable. So it was us. Yeah. We have that.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, and all, everyone that there's, caught fire the fact that he was working on a shot and the jumper looks better, which I still think it does. But the fact of the matter is he's just letting it fire from at any point in the shot clock with any degree of defense on him. And it's just lazy. He can get by these defenders. And
Can he get by them?
I believe so. And
does he believe so?
There you have it. I mean, even if he does, he may believe so, he may not, but he's not trying. And so I think that's the bigger issue.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if at this point he doesn't have the handle to do it. It's possible. I really don't think he has the body mechanics to be great at it. But you feel like he would. I don't think that's getting in the way of him trying.
Yes.
To do it. There's, you know, you see JJ put the ball on the floor more than he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the
sad thing is, and we've called out the defense already, but it's not much better. I mean,
beating a dead horse. It's like, okay, yeah, Lonzo sucks. Okay, cool. Melly has been trash. Okay, yeah, let's bash the $4 million player that people didn't think we might get minutes this year. Frank has been terrible. Maybe one of the worst players in the league in terms of impact. But again, he barely plays enough. So like bashing him is going to do what good? You know,
the replacement value is what? I mean, like if you don't play Frank Jackson, you're either playing Moore or you're playing Nah. And either of those guys, like I get the cases for playing other people over Frank, but at the same time, like you're not talking about any sort of material change, net change to their win-loss record at this point.
Jackson Hayes plays like he doesn't know he's in the NBA, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, dude has no fear at all, and he's been extremely pleasant surprise. But at the same time, like, dude has a long way to go on defense, so we all know that. Tough to really knock him on that. I mean, sheesh. Alvin and his fetishizing of four guard lineups that don't know how to rebound. I mean, yeah, I understand he got to run small players because you don't have bigs, but what the hell are JJ Redick and Etuan Moore both doing out there when Melly
when Melly's at the five?
Yeah. Do you want to grab a rebound ever? Like, I don't know. Do you want to be able to defend anybody at all? Because, like, okay, the idea is, like, let's switch all these people. Great. Let's switch all our 6'3 guys with other 6'3 guys against opponents that are bigger than 6'3.
And he went to a damn – I mean, it just shows how lacking this team is of quality rotation bigs that are healthy right now. He went to Ingram at the five lineup. Like, that's insane. But it makes total sense when you look at – as long as you've got, to your point, you've got guys like – I don't think Lonzo was in at that point, but he had Harden, and they had some decent rebounding guards in the game for a little bit. But, like, if you have to do that, that just goes to show how again, injury-ridden this freaking team is, man. Like, the fact that you have to use Melly as your backup center.
Who has not been a disappointment? I hate to interrupt you, but, like, who has not been a disappointment so far? That might be easier to talk about. Like, who could you be like, I'm not upset at you.
I mean, Ingram's obviously that guy. I mean, like, the defensive issues you commented on aside. Like, I think he's – He's surpassed expectations. Jackson Hayes has as well. Josh Hart is hit or miss. I mean, I feel like I'm more up on him than down. Tonight was kind of a disaster for him, but I feel like I can say, you know, Hart's at least met my expectations.
Offensively, he was fine tonight. He used, what, 4 of 8, 3 for 6 from three, had 6 rebounds, so 11 and 6. Like, you can get that out of him. It's like, okay.
I guess I'm letting a couple air balls I saw late in the game bias me in there. So fair enough. But yeah, I mean, the conversation kind of ends there, right? I don't know.
Kenrich can't be disappointed.
Kenrich. Yeah, Kenrich, definitely.
So basically pretty much like everyone with a low value contract that had low expectations is slightly exceeding it.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. And your breadwinners have been like, yeah, you know, like all the people you expected to be good have been like, yeah. I mean, like, I don't think anyone can really fault JJ. I think JJ's been fine. Mm-hmm. I think JJ's been fine. Ingram's an interesting case because he's very clearly having a great offensive year, and he's very clearly great offensively. It somehow hasn't been translating to impact on the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. There's sort of this disconnect going there, and I'm not saying it's like Julius Randle, where his points I think were totally replaceable. In a vacuum, like, you could sub Julius Randle out and replace. Like, we saw it with Jahlil Okafor, and you wouldn't lose much of a beat. I don't think Julius Randle provided positive value plays. I don't think that's the case of Brandon Ingram at all. But I think there is a catching up to do in his game where the impact has to catch up to his actual raw numbers. And I think that's going to happen. As his career progresses and we get better players on the floor. I don't think that's really an issue with him per se, but it's something to mention that isn't happening and hasn't happened in his career yet where the, you know, you have guys like James Harden who can put up a bevy of points and their team's in it every night. They can control the flow of the offense. They can control the flow of the game. I don't think Ingram is the guy where his scoring and his isolation is changing or dictating the, like, if you imagine the game to be like a stream or like a river or whatnot, is dictating or changing or shaping the course of that. And I don't think that his scoring is doing that yet. But I think that's not a macro issue. I think it's a minor thing that will change as his career goes on and as there's different players around him.
Yeah, I think it's in, and I almost think it seems like a fruitless endeavor to even talk about this team when they're fully healthy, because if there's one thing we know to be true as Pelicans fans is that will never, ever happen. But I mean, I think that the real trick for me will be seeing how that looks. If this team ever does get fully healthy, is because you start, you know, thinking about Favors is going to get a few shots. And when he's shooting, it's usually an efficient type of shot because the team's worked to get him that look, whether it's on a pick and roll or a put back, things like that, highly efficient shots. And then you've obviously got Zion, who's, you know, if his preseason was any indication, he's going to shoot like 70% from the field. So, I mean, in the assumption that
even if he shoots 55, if it's just 55,
we'll take it. Yeah, but in the assumption that these guys come back and are play right around those levels, I mean, the offense becomes more efficient, and Ingram, you now have to force him to play within the flow of the offense a little bit more, or else, you know, you start to see some of those concerns that you were just mentioning. So, again, who the hell knows if we ever get to figure that out, but it is something that I think it's something that people brought up in the preseason, because when he was playing with all the other guys, there were certainly issues, but I mean, he really didn't have an off season because he was rehabbing and not able to play basketball really. So maybe that's not so fair either.
True or false? This team could use Darius Miller.
Oh, that's a curveball. I don't know, man. He doesn't do anything besides shoot threes. Like his rebound rates, his assist rates, everything is so it's rock bottom. And I just don't know if that helps this Pelicans team that much. I mean, in a sense, he is a 6'7" body for this team, which given and whatever it is. But yeah, I don't think it's a major difference.
Okay. You've already deemed it a fruitless endeavor to talk about Pelicans basketball. So I opened up Twitter and ask them to ask us anything. And this could be basketball. This could not be basketball. and so I'm just going to pick random questions. I'm not going to really go in any particular order. Things that seem interesting to me. So we're going to read these out, and we'll try to call out the Twitter names if they're readable. Okay, cool. We'll start off with the basketball one. And I'm picking this one because their Twitter name is funny.
I just saw your tweet. Now I'm looking at the questions beforehand, and some of them are just hilarious.
Okay, so we're gonna start with the basketball one, and this is from Proud Piece of Human Scum. The team is clearly struggling, but how much of fans' angst is due to Griff overpromising in several areas that he had no business selling fans, competing for playoffs, Drew MVP, etc.? It's a fair question. Proud Piece of Human Scum.
it's a fair question, but at the same time, I don't think we expected this team to be a shell of itself in terms of health. I think the expectations of fighting for a playoff spot were absolutely fair, and I think this shitty ass game that we just watched, notwithstanding, this team has played at a level that's above their winning percentage because of all the clutch issues we just talked about. I mean, like I think this team clearly would have been in the mix, given the fact that even the seventh and eighth seeds, both those spots we talked about in the last podcast, that they're very gettable this year. And so I don't think that's necessarily unfair that Griff was kind of putting that out there. But we haven't seen the team take the floor this year, save for a couple of games that was really competitive from a overall talent perspective, the way we thought they were going to be, and that's even without Zion. I mean, I think the couple games you saw the real Derek Favors out there, this team looked totally different, and it sucks that it's happened the way it has. But the Pelicans are literally relying on a 19-year-old rookie who people thought would not be a factor this season to start at center. I mean, I don't know what you could have expected there.
So I agree with you on the playoff expectations. I do think. I have a couple thoughts on this. I do think that some things were oversold and some things I didn't buy from the get-go. I never bought that this team had depth. I think that was oversold. The Drew MVP is something I talked myself into, not that him being an MVP mm-hmm. candidate or that he'd be ever anything close, but him taking the leap in terms of this is my team. I'm going to be the first option. I'm going to have a higher usage and offense is going to go through me. I thought he would do that. I thought legitimately he would average 24 to 25 points a game because he'd be putting up the most amount of shots on this team. I bought into that. But at the same time, I'm totally going to be very snarky in saying this. Frank Jackson was overpromised.
Literally to you.
I'm sorry. Anywho, I do want to say that this overpromising has less to do on Griff, has more to do with media running off with quotes of his that are very quotable. Like, that stuff is going to make headlines.
We want to beat people's ass or whatever he said. Yeah,
all the other stuff where he's more even keeled and he's trying to hedge his bets and he's saying, okay, we're going to practice patience and, you know, the destination isn't linear and et cetera, et cetera. All those things that he has said and they've repeatedly said. People don't listen to that. They don't want to listen to that because that's not something you can attach yourself to. You can easily attach yourself to motivational stuff that he says. So I think part of the problem is us as media perpetuating some of these ideas and fans getting behind it. I don't know if what Griff says publicly has anything to do with how they feel internally, and if they feel that they are far from what internal expectations are given who is available and healthy on the court.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be a situation where, you know, you treat Anthony Davis and just the gut expectation is that that equals rebuild. And Griff certainly did not, and the entire Pelicans front office and ownership group did not want to give off that impression. And I totally understand it because that's not what they're trying to do. I mean, they want to make the playoffs this year and they don't want fans just to think that because they traded a guy like AD, it's a reset. And so I think that had a lot to do with how Griff framed up the talking points that he had. But I totally hear you on the media perpetuating certain quotes and just maybe creating some sort of false expectations.
Yep. Okay. So do you want to pick some of the questions from this list as well and we go back and forth, or do you just want me to keep picking them?
You pick next one and I'll look right now to see if I got the one after that.
Okay. Easy one. Bigfoot, real or no?
Yeah, I mean, and his name is Aaron Gray.
Ooh, good answer. Good answer. I'm also going to say yes, but we're going to get like more metaphysical with this. If you subscribe to the theory that this is an ever-expanding universe with a near infinite number of possibilities and permutation of planets and habitations out there, I think there's a Bigfoot somewhere out there. Maybe not on this Earth. Maybe on Earth 3750. Who knows? I subscribe. Okay, next question, Mason.
All right. The next one is, I'm going to go back to basketball because I'm boring and hate fun. If this trajectory can, so this is from future Dr. Francis. Congratulations on your future medical degree, Francis. But if this trajectory continues, is it probable we trade off some vets and fully focus on developing the youth or pick up another lottery pick this summer?
I think it would be insulting to Favors and Redick if they were traded off in the sense that you just sign, like, if both of them are effectively free agent signings. Redick was a free agent signing. Favors essentially was because he had a large amount of say where he wanted to go. I think if you trade them off at the deadline, that sends a bad message to the league. You'd be like, okay, you signed these guys and you're getting rid of them. That's where I'm at with that. I also think that if you trade away all the vets, you risk creating a situation that is similar to what the Phoenix Suns have been for the past 7-8 years, what the process Sixers were like, what the Kings have been in the past, where you have this aimless group of young individuals who don't know how to play together, who have no one to show them how to lead and just to be a professional, even if it's not leadership, it's just to how to be a professional. And you have this environment where they're repetitively losing and things just spiral downward. I don't want that. So that's not, I mean, unless it's a spectacular deal coming at you at the deadline, I'm not a fan of that, but feel free to take Etuan Moore and Darius Miller.
Yeah, I'm so one caveat I'll say is that I don't know what, not necessarily with Derek Favors, but because he's a guy who with Jackson Hayes play so far this year, maybe he's less of a concern for his next contract, but he's still a guy, even if you don't make the playoffs this year, you have his bird rights and you could consider re-signing him, which I don't think would be the worst idea depending on how long the contract is and all that stuff. But in the case of Redick, I don't know what Griff told him when they signed him. I mean, maybe Griff said, you know, if it looks like we're not going to make the playoffs and you want us to look for a deal for you at the deadline, I can't promise you we're going to trade you, but we can talk about it. So there's that. But other than that, I think I agree with you. And the one thing I want to keep hammering home, it's the thing that I was talking about a little bit earlier today, is that this team has had a gauntlet of a schedule so far, and it does not get easier until 2020. And so I think if there's a move that's going to be made, you have to wait until literally the trade deadline to do something like that, because the schedule is going to relent and this team is going to start winning games. If people want to continue to be negative and say that's me just being an optimist, I just vehemently disagree, because this team is, they've played a ton of games and they're going to play a few more games against tough opponents before they start getting the cupcakes. And with our luck, obviously it'll be when these cupcakes start to figure it out. But that's another story. I think you have to wait, and unless they lose every game for the rest of this month, for example, and it's clear that there's no salvaging it, then maybe you start to have that conversation. But I really do think that, you know, when January hits, it's a pretty cakewalk schedule, and even through most of the rest of the season. And so there's no reason to hit the panic button yet. Even if the goal is not make the playoffs, I don't think if this team misses the playoffs, but finishes the second half of the season strong, I think that's fine. I mean, I would have liked to make the playoffs as much as the next person, but given what we've seen from an injury perspective, I'm not freaking out yet. The schedule's just been so, so difficult.
Okay. I mean, I'm not freaking out. I just think they're bad. And if you know they're bad and think they're bad, there's nothing to freak out about. Right?
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess the question is, you know, what do you attribute the shittiness of this team to? And I mean, I say that it's a lot of things. It's not just one thing, but I'd say it lies more in the lack of consistent healthy players, and not just losing a guy like Zion, but losing different players at different times and forcing different weird lineup combinations. You know, Lonzo missed a few games here, Ingram missed a few games, Drew missed a couple, and then of course you have Favors, who hasn't played much, and all that combined just is a recipe for disaster. But it's not even just injuries, is it? There's so many things that are going wrong with it. It's holiday time, and all of us want to figure out that cool, unique gift we can give someone rather than, you know, the dull, cliche gifts for guys like socks and wallets and ties, and, you know, things like that. Well, I'm here to tell you about Harry's, which is a gift that can be both thoughtful and practical. Listeners of this show can get $5 off any Harry's shave set by heading to harrys.com/bluewire. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. Harry's is a great deal for you and for him. Holiday sets start at just $20, and that's within Secret Santa limits. Harry's Blade refills are as low as $2 each, so your guy will save money over time. It comes ready to gift in a handsome holiday gift box, and your gift gives back. 1% of each sale will be donated to charitable organizations. As a special offer for fans of this show, we partner with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets, when you go to harrys.com/bluewire. Plus, you'll get free shipping. Each Harry's shaving kit comes with a weighted handle with option to engrave, 5-blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades, packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. Just go to harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire. With the holiday rush upon us, you have to be able to ship orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of all those orders, decide which shipping carrier to use, or if you're getting the best rates? Luckily, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door, and delivered in time for the holidays. ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, and UPS, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Take the hassle out of holiday shipping this year. Let ShipStation help you handle it all with ease. Just use our offer code BLUE to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, enter offer code BLUE. ShipStation, make ship happen.
We're going to do a rapid-fire Mike Pelisse question bomb blast. I know it's so Mike Pelisse at Mike underscore Pelicans, also part of the Bourbon Street Shots family,
has asked a tremendous amount of questions in your mentions, and we're going to address all of them.
Every single
and,
one.
And so these are rapid fire. You can expand if you want to. You know, if you're passionate about some subjects, because there's clearly some subjects I'm passionate about. I'm looking at these questions. But these are going to be rapid fire. Okay, Mason?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, first one. Why are olives on so many things? They aren't good.
That it's I all right. I'm already mad. I think up until like 2-ish years ago, I was completely in agreement. And so I don't know, something, my taste buds must have changed somehow, because this is the only food I've changed on this late in my life. Because I think olives are good now, and I used to not like them. So
was it your fiance? Did she put you on the olives?
No, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's just the bevy of Greek food options within a block of my office. Okay. It's like there's plenty of them, but that's my answer.
All right. Well, olives are bad and you should feel bad. So next question. I agree with you, Mike. Next question. Hey, what's the deal with the new Tesla car? Okay. First of all, it's not a car. It's a truck. Second of all, it looks like a Puma, which is a reference. It looks like a warthog from Halo. And there's been a great Photoshop of two little Halo dudes sitting on it, one in the gunner seat, one in the driver's seat. I think it's pretty damn cool in terms of specs it has. I think maybe they're trying to target that Hummer market where they're like, hey, I'm not going to go electric. Rawr! And then like, oh, wait a minute. There's this cool-ass truck that will literally dust a Ford F-150 trying to tug it uphill. Like, hey, come get this truck that looks bulky and manly, but it's electric. Rawr. That's what's up with the new Tesla truck. You have any thoughts?
No, I don't really have any thoughts. I'm not a car guy, and I just see all this for the first time Googling it as you were talking about it.
You haven't seen pictures of the Tesla? Would you on the internet? Have you seen the memes?
No, I haven't.
There's some great memes. Okay. And
now I have research.
You know
our homework today.
You have homework. Okay. This one's not, the next one's not really a question. I think it's just him talking about something that made him mad. I remember one time this guy made me scrape my knee because we were playing wall ball and he violated the rules. What a dick.
Asshole, man. And have you met Mike? Like, why would you ever do something mean to him? Like, that's crazy.
Mike, has your knee been the same since? You should have thrown the ball at his face. Yeah. Next question. What do you think about the extra sheet over the fitted? I think it's unnecessary. Mason?
No, of course. Well, this is going to be biased because I live in Chicago, but it's absolutely necessary.
Is it? What do you use it for?
The extra warmth?
Can you just not get a thicker blanket?
Sure, but maybe it lets you regulate your temperature a little bit rather than just having one option. You know, I don't like to be I don't like to live my life in a binary fashion. I like to have options.
Seems unnecessary. I'm with Mike. I don't think I've disagreed with Mike yet. Okay, he says, hey, what's the deal with the space on the Pop-Tarts that doesn't have frosting? Oh my God, Michael. These are the hard-hitting questions we've needed on this podcast the whole time. Seriously, it's, you know what I think is it is? I'm going to put my conspiracy theory hat on. Pop-Tarts are probably something that are mass-produced, right? There's probably a big old factory of them, and they're looking to cut costs. And, you know, if you produce millions and millions of Pop-Tarts a year, how many square inches of space and of icing and material and product do you think you're saving every year? That is clearly a cost-saving move. Good on Pop-Tarts or whatever their parent company is for figuring out their ways to cut corners.
Yeah, I disagree.
You disagree? You don't think it's a cost-cutting move?
Oh, no. You could add – if you, I
like
think
the
if,
crust on the Pop-Tart?
Absolutely not, man. You got to put icing over it. It makes it more palatable. And also, you can – I think the incremental cost to adding that amount of frosting on a single Pop-Tart is probably a penny or two. And yeah, I think it's well worth the investment.
Over a year.
Okay. Well worth the investment.
No. Clearly, you're not an MBA person who consults management professionally and know the ways of selling to businesses and what their good ideas are.
Pop-Tart industries are our main clients. So
yeah, hope they don't hire you. Okay. Why can't we make socks that don't lose elasticity? Why do socks always lose its brother in the dryer? Okay, well, I have an answer to the first part of that question. I don't know if he wants the physics answer or the chemistry answer to this, but maybe I could like touch on both, because like elasticity is a weird physics thing, and essentially if you look at a sock as a closed system, and if you look at a sock as a closed system, there's an amount of energy that sock carries that's in that system, when you, because no system is perfectly efficient, there's going to be times along the process of its use where it's things or energy is going to escape from that system. I'm doing a really bad job. My physics teacher is going to fucking kill me if he listens to this explanation. But what I'm trying to say is from an energy perspective, the sock changes over time. So the way elasticity works is there's this thing called an elastic limit. And the more energy that is applied to the sock, and you apply energy when you put it on, you stretch it from its original standpoint. And when you, its original standpoint, it's sitting there, it's doing nothing. You stretch it, you add a bunch of potential energy to it, you let it go, this transfers into kinetic energy, and it releases a little bit of heat because somehow the energy has got to go somewhere. When you do that in enough amount of times, enough of the little the polymers in the elastic part of the sock reach their elastic limit. And when they've reached their elastic limit, they can no longer return to the shape they once had. And from a chemistry perspective, the heat energy that's been dissipating is quite literally changing the polymers in terms of like breaking down the integrity of them. I'm pretty sure that's the right answer. My physics teacher wanted to explain this to us, but we'll see. That's my long-winded answer of why socks lose elasticity. It's a science thing. Now, why do socks always lose its brother in the dryer? That's not a science thing. That is voodoo magic. And I don't have a good explanation. I'm pretty sure it's the same reason planes are lost in the Bermuda Triangle.
Sorry, I just fell asleep there for a minute.
I'm sorry. Welcome to my TED Talk, or Bill Nye, the Schmidt science guy. Okay.
Man, that was I thought talking about the Pelicans was going to be the low point of this podcast, but you proved me wrong.
I'm going to make my own podcast where we talk about why mundane things happen.
Socks and physics.
From a scientific point of view. I think we've reached the conclusion of Mike's questions. I think he has a lot more, but
he literally said let him know.
Don't think I'm gonna let him know that. Do you have a question lined up from the rest of them, or do you want me to pick one?
Do you want basketball or no basketball?
I don't care, man. Clearly I'm talking about socks and closed systems.
Let's since you're already making my brain hurt from that description, let's talk about when will the pain that is Pelicans basketball stop?
Never. Okay. It is you. What's the Bane quote? you were not. I don't fucking know the Bane quote, man. It's slipping my mind. Something about like being molded and in and born and in whatever. Like, that's what Pelicans basketball is. It's ubiquitous. It's pervasive, and it is going to be with you for the rest of your life, like an STD that you can't cure.
Good Lord, man. This is going off the rails just like the Pelican season.
unless you have a better answer, that is my final answer. Lock it in.
Fine. I don't have a better one, because I agree with you wholeheartedly that it does not end. It is a circle.
Here's a question for you. Do you think TNT will eventually steal Joel Myers from us?
God, I hope not. That was such a clear upgrade from what they've had before. And he almost was able to successfully counteract all the garbage that Reggie Miller was spewing all game long.
It was really impressive. Like, Reggie would literally say stuff and Joel would kind of like, okay, yeah, uh-huh. And just talk about actual accurate things in the game. And then yeah. It's like, all right, Reggie, you can just be quiet now. It was a little bit weird seeing that dynamic.
Yeah, I couldn't. The one thing though, I couldn't tell if Joel was actually. It seemed like Joel was actually agreeing with Reggie on the load management stuff, which I'm like, because science is the answer that we are doing load management the way we're doing it. But yeah, I mean everything else, like Joel just kind of twiddling his thumbs, waiting to be like, yeah, okay, whatever you say, man. But yeah, so it was kind of refreshing to hear him call a game, and I wonder he did a really good job of keeping his cool as an unbiased TNT broadcaster rather than a sad Pelicans broadcaster. So I want to give him a shout out for that too. Cause he's a professional. He's been doing this for years, so I'm sure it's nothing new to him, but it's gotta be a weird kind of change to go from being the Pelicans broadcaster to trying to be an unbiased announcer.
Yeah, well, Joel's the man, so he's going to succeed in everything that he does. Next question. What is the best bar in the Garden District area?
Man, it's been – I don't know enough of them. It's been long enough since I've
– It's like Parasols count as a bar.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's Parasols and Tracy's right there, and I've been to both of them on numerous occasions.
Does this Saint count as a bar? Is that Garden District?
The Saint, yeah, the Saint's got it. I don't know if it's Garden District, but that's got to count.
the Saint counts, right?
What else would you call it?
A place for late night shenanigans?
Yes. Okay, well, that's also fair, but...
That's not F&M's?
yeah, and you've got, I mean, Bulldog counts... I'm naming very obvious answers because it's been a while since I've been out there frequently.
I'm more of an other bar guy, and that's on Ferret because Ferret's my jam. And other bars. Ferret's got some good stuff. Gasa Gasa, live music every night. Shout out Gasa Gasa.
Is the stuff like on Chop? Does that count? Like, I mean, because there's a couple breweries there now that are good.
I guess. Yeah. Chop Yard's fine. I mean, like, I don't know, like that stuff simultaneously fun but also lacks like any type of culture. So
I just like the frozen beer mugs they give you at Chop Yard. That's pretty
those things are massive.
Yeah. What about Atlanta? There's an Atlanta question there too, man.
Oh, what's the Atlanta question?
Where is it? It is you've got a couple of them. Asking about how by Remy asking how are you post move, how's your adjustment to Atlanta going?
Oh, that's a good question. Thanks for asking, Remy. How am I post move? I think my first couple of days and or first week was kind of depressing. I was homesick and I was effectively living out of a hotel room in a suitcase, and I was trying to apartment hunt, and I hated all the apartments because, first of all, Atlanta's like a fake ass big city, man. That's just all I gotta say. Like, up all these big ass buildings, and there's no one out, and everything closes like at 2 or 3, and it's like, what? I don't understand what you do here. What's going on? And maybe that's because I haven't seen the parts of Atlanta, but like coming from New Orleans, man, it's not the same. It's not New Orleans. And so I was a little homesick, and I was like, when I moved into my apartment, I didn't have any furniture. I was living off a $25 air mattress, and I record. I think one of the first pods I did here was like on a box, And then I was sitting in a folding lawn chair. That was the furniture I had in my house. So it wasn't fun. But it's gotten dramatically better since. I mean, look at me. I was putting together a cabinet this weekend and watching Star Wars, and I have a TV, and things are good. So I'm liking Atlanta. My job's been really good. I'm seeing cooler parts of the city, and I'm excited to learn it more. So if anyone has any suggestions, let me know for sure.
Nice. Yeah. I think I'll be there next week for work. So
nice.
I think so. I kept laughing at some of these responses to you because the one from Uncle Phil is my favorite. It's just roast Lonzo for 45 minutes.
Roast Lonzo for 40. I don't know if I could do that. Maybe if I did that, he'll like start a rap diss track against us and In the Know, and then.
Hey, that's how we get publicity, man.
Yeah, maybe I should roast Lonzo for 45 minutes. I don't think I need a roast Lonzo for 45 minutes. Just watch a Pelicans game. It'll do the job for yourself.
Nice.
Oh, wait, nice. You won't get 45 minutes. Okay, watch 2 Pelicans games. That'll do the job. yeah, okay. Next question. Wait, was there another Atlanta question?
I can't find it anymore. But it was about just around like places you found, like best bars and stuff like that.
Oh. There's a cool like little place in Atlanta called Pond City Market, which is unlike I've seen in New Orleans. I haven't checked out the Beltline. People keep telling me to check out the Beltline. It's apparently this interesting line that runs across the city, and it's very accessible like for bikes and scooters, and it's like attached to a bunch of businesses and bars, so it's cool to check out. Haven't really done that. I've gotten some good recommendations that I haven't really had the time to go through on, but I might have to take a rain check on that question, and and check it out and revisit it in a couple of months.
Fair enough. And then this one has to be asked, and it's Baby Yoda or Baby Groot?
Oh. I think I like Groot better because he was actually verbal, even though it's just I am Groot. I guess they're both small little green things. That's not racist.
Excellent value add.
Yeah. You don't watch this, so the question doesn't apply to you. Okay, here's a question.
I feel like this is a good opportunity to say that I finally, and I'm going to get roasted for this, but I finally watched the first Avengers movie over Thanksgiving break. So now I'm ready to watch the others in the season, and I'll know what the hell you guys are talking about.
That's not the order of things. You need to watch other movies, lots more movies. Oh, here's a question. It was is buried in one of the Atlanta questions. Favorite current rapper? Mason, even listen to rap?
I haven't listened to like,
ooh, that's a pause. That's a pause.
No, the answer is I listen to absolutely everything except for country music. I think country music is terrible.
That's a good answer.
I honestly at this point, like I have list. I'm listening to the new music Friday on Spotify, and like I don't listen to new music enough anymore. And so it's that or whatever I hear on the radio on my road trip from Chicago to Detroit. So I am by no means an authority on music, and I'm okay with that.
Okay, no, that's fair. I've been listening to a lot of Atlanta area artists, just because I've been in Atlanta. Earth Gang, JID or JID, Black or Six Lack, whatever you people want to call him. We can let's just go with those three at the moment. Those three have been good for me. Really dig Earth Gang. If you haven't heard of them, check them out. Nice. Good rappers. We can go back to basketball if you like.
Back to what? Cool.
Oh, here's a kind of basketball one. It's fuck, marry, kill basketball edition, but it's but
I didn't know if we'd go to that one.
But it's contracts. It's basketball contracts. So the one you marry is the one that you're happiest with.
Well,
okay.
Probably.
Okay. Lonzo Ball, 4 years, $63 million. Kenny Hustle, 4 years, $63 million. Frank Jackson, 4 years, $63 million.
I think we're both marrying the Kenny Hustle contract.
I would marry Kenny Hustle.
And I'm killing the Frank Jackson contract.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you got to be the same, right?
Yeah, I think I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I am. That's it is round two. Just Brandon Ingram 1 year, $15 million. Then he walks. Drew Holiday 1 year, $15 million. Then he walks. Zion Williamson 1 year, $15 million. Then he walks. So, I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
Do we lose all of them if I pick Brandon Ingram 1 year, $15 million, and then he walks? Like, do I keep the what happens to the other guys? They were just never on my team.
Yeah. I don't
understand.
Losing Zion's clearly the worst.
Can I get Zion for $15 million and then trade him? I don't know. That's a weird. I don't understand that question. I'm sorry, Mithril. Don't understand that question. Trying to find something that might be slightly relevant to us.
There's a lot of commentary about Nikhil and his minutes.
Okay. Here's my commentary on Nikhil and his minutes without knowing any of the questions that are asked. I think that Nikhil Alexander-Walker should absolutely get minutes. I am not upset that he hasn't been getting minutes. I think part of the process is figuring out what the hell works, and sometimes you have to sit an overambitious rookie and have him watch the game from the bench a bit. As he watches other while you try to figure out your own thing. So I'm always going to be Camp Nikhil. I'm always going to support him getting minutes. I don't think that he's this magical cure that's going to come in and fix everything because he's not Lonzo or he's not Frank or whatever. Hopefully he continues to get more minutes going forward, but because he's earned them and not because others are bad.
Yeah, and my position is it's the answer is the same, but it's for a different reason. And it's just, I think, so it, arguably, if you're trying to give N'Keal minutes, you're doing it over either Frank Jackson or Etuan Moore. And it, I totally understand the rationale from fans wanting to see him because he's the unknown, right? Who had the awesome preseason and awesome summer league and the guy you think can be good. Here, there's a couple things here. One is you're exactly right on the fact that he's just not – the difference between him and those other guys over the course of an 82-game season, maybe it's a win. Maybe two tops. Like, I think it's – and that's probably being pretty generous. The other thing is that, if you believe that they're going to make some sort of move, I think giving more some minutes to keep him – give him some sort of trade value is reasonable. I think – giving Frank Jackson minutes right now because you have to figure out what you have in him, and this is it essentially. I don't think if he's not a guy you can trust to be a part of your rotation this season, then you're dumping him. And I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. I think you and I both agree that he has not been good this year, and he really hasn't been good for the majority of his NBA career. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't make sure of that once and for all. I used the Austin Rivers example this morning where, you know, he was garbage for New Orleans for two or three years, and now he's a rotation player. There are other examples
Frank
like that.
Is Jackson going to be the Austin Rivers of the Pelicans where I mean, Austin Rivers played on the Pelicans, but of this era where he's just going to turn into a semi-serviceable NBA player on some other team, and everyone's going to be like, can't believe you let him go.
Yeah, I kind of don't think so, but at the same time, I think it's a reasonable example to bring up. And I just, you know, I
can't believe you let Aminu go.
So eventually, at some point, you cut bait with Frank Jackson, and if Gentry kind of hangs on too long, then it's fair to start poking at it. But I'm fine with just making sure once and for all that Frank Jackson's not a guy you're gonna keep around, past the season. And that seems like that seems to be the case as of now.
And you bring up a good point. I think, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, this needs to be an evaluation season, or this is an evaluation season. We need to evaluate what's going on. Well, if you're evaluating what's going on, part of evaluating is figuring out what sucks. And if your evaluation leads you to conclude that everything fucking sucks, it's a successful evaluation.
You've eclipsed your record of F-bombs on this podcast. I'm pretty impressed here.
Whatever. We're like Alvin Gentry. It's free-flowing. We don't have structure. It's a motion podcast. If your evaluation leads you to believe everyone sucks, that's a valid evaluation. You know that going forward. Okay, none of these guys are ones that are going to be around when Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram are going to be tearing down teams in the playoffs. Yep. It's going to be with other players, not
and N'Keal Alexander Walker. He's a rookie. We've got a whole rookie contract on him to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a valid evaluation. Now does that marginalize people's feelings of disappointment? No, I think you have the right to feel disappointed in the season. I'm disappointed in the season. No one likes this. I don't think the players like this. I think honestly, like, you're going to reach a point, if it hasn't already been reached, where the vets have just lost trust in the roster. Where Drew loses trust in the roster. And when that starts happening and people start checking out, that's going to be interesting. Because I don't know if you remember, it was earlier pods where I was like, okay, everything's going well now, but how are they going to be in December when they've lost three in a row? And it's like, okay, it's December, they've lost six in a row, mm-hmm. and they're a bad team. And I think things are fragile, and I truly think things are fragile on the inside too. I don't think people are in the right headspace, and it's never gonna come out that, because these type of players aren't agitators. They're not going to speak out. They're probably just gonna internalize it and be pissy about it, and it's gonna display itself on their on-court performance, which I think is what's happening. I think that also leads to my next point, is that the Pelicans could probably do with an asshole on their team, like a legitimate asshole, like Draymond.
What's Perk up to?
Or Rondo? Yeah, well, you know, an asshole that can play.
He goes send Zion the clutch too.
Oh my god. Yeah, but yeah, you know, someone that has the sweat equity that Griff talks about, so they have the ability to call out things when guys are underperforming. Because like, who's gonna call out Drew when he's sucking? Who's going to call out Ingram? Drew ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we are with this team. And so far, I think everyone's evaluation is painfully clear. And it's just that they suck. They are a bad team. Now, if you internalize that they are a bad team, you can expect them to lose every game, and then you won't be disappointed going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad, too, because I didn't mention it at the start of the podcast when you said, you know, you've never thought this team was that deep. And I still kind of, if anything, I disagree with you on that more than I did before, which sounds stupid probably in a vacuum, but we have a center on this team in Jackson Hayes that we did not think was going to be a factor this season, point blank. And now suddenly he's certainly a rotation player. And so you've got a team at full strength that's, you know, it's Drew, Reddick, Ingram, Zion, and Favors as your front line. And then Lonzo, Josh Hart, Kenrich, and Jackson Hayes as your, you know, as a your 6 through 9 players. And that feels like a quality rotation, but it's just like we've had so
yeah. I don't know. When I look at this team, how many players can you point to and you'd be like, I know what I'm getting out of this player tonight?
In the roles they're currently in or the roles they're supposed to be in? Because I feel like those are two different questions.
What they're currently doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a shit show.
even if in the roles that they're supposed to be. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not too concerned with that just because I think we've got – when you've got Zion and Favors on the floor with these guys, I think a lot of the pressure comes off.
I guess. I genuinely believe things will be different when those guys come back. I just think different means they're not terrible. I don't think different necessarily means they're good. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be a better team. I don't think they're going to be like a team where you're like, man, if we had this team all along, we would have been murdering people. Like, we would have been world beaters or whatever. You know, it's like, I think they're going to be...
I don't think so either. I mean, like, this is...
It's like, they're going to be like what the Kings were last year. I think that's what, like, you know, it's sure. Like, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, there's a reason this team, before the Zion injury, they're over-under in Vegas was like 38.5 or something like that. I mean, I don't, this team was never going to be a, you know, a 50-win team, despite the fact that was Nate Duncan's ceiling for this team. We did that podcast, if everything went right. Which I guess is still
everything
guess
we'll has never, not gone right.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just think that this team at full strength would be better than where I thought they were going to be at the start of the season, mostly because of what we've seen from Brandon Ingram and what we've seen from Jackson Hayes. But
yeah. Okay, I'm gonna end this podcast with an off the cuff question for you. And feel free to get as deep or philosophical as you want with it, okay?
Okay, all right.
Let's say you had met Anna before, and I guess you were meeting her for the first time or whatnot. Would it be a deal breaker for you if she didn't share your taste in memes? like let's say, like, you know, you're... Let's call it like meme IQ, right? Let's say like your meme IQ was like on different levels, or like, you know, like, yeah, and you could even like bring that to a greater point and talk about like sense of humor or whatnot. But the question's more about memes. It's like, okay, like, you know, let's say you're on the internet and you're like, man, it's just really funny. You want to send it to your significant other. They're like, I don't get it. Would that be a deal breaker? Net new. I mean, obviously you've known her for forever now, and you guys are engaged, so it's a different story. But like, should that be a deal breaker? Would it be?
Nah, man. This is. I think, you know, the broader point about sense of humor is one thing, but I think I feel like there are certain things that you can you have different outlets for, and so like if I can't send one person something that I think is funny. There's someone else, like as a friend, I can send it to my group chat with my buddies and get a laugh. And so
you could like meme cheat, like, okay, like I can get my fix in on the side.
Somebody has to laugh at my jokes, man. Somebody has
to. I mean, like, I know, she clearly I know doesn't you guys, share your pun humor.
No, I know you guys don't. So someone's got to. Where did that question come from? I have.
It was a debate that we were having in our group chat, and not our, like yours and mine, in the separate group chat that I'm in, yeah. Where some guy went on a date with this girl, and they were texting, and like he was like sending her memes, and she just didn't get them. And he's like, I don't know if I could do this. And this sparked off. It was like, okay, like is that like a valid way to feel? Like, because she doesn't understand your memes, and he coined the term like low meme IQ. And I'm like, that's a really funny term. But yeah, I mean, like for me, like I don't think it would. I mean, I think a sense of humor would be a deal breaker if that wasn't compatible. Yeah. But like, I guess the internet for me, like internet culture, internet. It's like, okay, I have all these friends online that I wouldn't tell my real friends about. And I'm sorry, guys. Just, I don't, in real life, I don't be like, hey, man, this is what Pelicans fan 123 had to say to me, man. You're a great meme. It's totally funny. But like, yeah, imagine like trying to explain like the Pikachu meme or like a SpongeBob meme in person. Like, I don't do that. But like with the internet, I got strangers, man. Like, it's a one big old party and I love it. So I don't need that from a significant other.
Yeah. Better, higher IQ for the Pelicans, meme or basketball?
Oh, meme for sure. Because no, I'm serious. This is a real quote. When the rookies were asked to do their what do you call it, the singing that they had to do, their their karaoke, and the rookies' like first reaction was like, I don't want to become a meme. And I think like Zion and Jax are very hip with it. I mean, like Jax like is wearing SpongeBob shoes, like Rick and Morty stuff. Like Jax is very hip with it. And you know, Nikhil is always plugged in. And I think the other guys are pretty, like Brandon Ingram's probably like, what the hell is all this? He's probably an old cranky man at heart. JJ Redick, I'm not sure, knows how to use a smartphone. Drew probably has a bunch of Bible verses on his phone or something. Like, I'm not sure he's with the memes, but yeah, I think overall though, like the young players, they're definitely higher meme IQ than basketball IQ for sure. Yep. Cool. I'm glad we had that discussion. This was a great pod. Thanks. This is our best pod yet.
Yeah, definitely. The less we talk about basketball, the better. I think there's a negative correlation there.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Fed, that's a fact.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.